Today, lending, stress, and all things DFA. Hello again, I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to our latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Today, we look at the latest mortgage stress and lending data, results from AMP and CBA, and touch on some milestones for our channel. And by the way, if you value the content we produce, please do consider joining our Patreon program, where you can support our ability to continue to make great content. Here's the link, and it's also in the comments below. We released the July 2018 mortgage stress and default analysis update today. The latest RBA data on household debt to income to March reached a new high of 190.1. And CBA said today in their results announcement that, quote, there has been an uptick in home loan arrears as some households experience difficulties with rising essential costs and limited income growth, leading to some pockets of stress. Interesting that they formally recognise it in their results. So no surprise to see mortgage stress continues to rise. Across Australia, more than 990,000 households are now estimated to be in mortgage stress, compared with 970,000 last month. This equates to 30.4% of owner-occupied borrowing households. And in addition, more than 23,000 of these are in severe stress. We estimate that more than 57,900 households risk 30-day defaults in the next 12 months. We expect bank portfolio losses to be around 2.7 basis points, although losses in WA are likely to be higher at around 5 basis points. We continue to see the impact of flat wages growth, rising living costs and higher real mortgage rates. The caustic formula of coping with rising living costs, noticeably childcare, school fees and fuel, whilst real incomes continue to fall and underemployment is causing significant pain. Many households have large mortgages thanks to the strong rise in home prices, especially in the main eastern state centres, and now prices are slipping. And while mortgage interest rates remain quite low for owner-occupied borrowers, those with interest-only loans or investment loans have seen significant rises, and many are dipping into savings to support their finances. Given that lending for housing continues to rise at more than 6% on an annualised basis, household pressure is still set to get more intense. And in addition, prices are falling, and in some postcodes, the threat is now real that negative equity could be rearing its ugly head. And you can find more details of our stress work on our blog and in the comments below. The ABS released their housing finance data to June 2018 today. They reported that the trend estimate for the total value of dwelling finance commitments, excluding alterations and additions, fell 0.7% in the month. Owner-occupied housing commitments fell 0.2% and investment housing commitments fell 1.8%. In seasonally adjusted terms, the total value of dwelling finance commitments, excluding alterations and additions, fell 1.6%. The proportion of loans for investment purposes, excluding refinance, was 41.4%, down from 53% in 2015. And the proportion of refinanced owner-occupied loans was 19.7%, similar to the last couple of months. Looking at the changes month on month, owner-occupied purchases for new dwellings fell 0.3%, while owner-occupied purchases for established dwellings rose 0.1% or $14.2 million. Investment construction lending rose 1.3% or $14 million. Borrowing for investment purposes by individuals fell 1.8%, down $154 million. And investment by other entities fell 5.1%. or $45.7 million. Refinancing of owner-occupied loans fell 0.9%, or $53 million, and overall around $31 billion of loan flows were written, down 0.7% in trend terms. In original terms, the number of first home buyer commitments as a percentage of total owner-occupied housing finance commitments rose to 18.1% in June, from 17.6% last month. The number of loans fell, though, around 762 lower compared to last month, to 9,541. And within that, we still see rises in New South Wales and Victoria compared to a year ago, thanks to the recent first-time buyer grants. The proportion of loans written at fixed rates fell again. Our first-time buyer tracker, which includes an estimate of first-time buyers going direct to the investment sector, continued at a low level compared with a year ago. And the original data showing the portfolio of loans outstanding at the banks registered an overall rise of $8 billion and a fall in the proportion of loans for investment purposes to 33.7%, the lowest level for several years. And the mix across states of owner-occupied loans shows that the strongest growth is in Tasmania and Queensland, and the biggest falls in loan volumes were in the ACT and Western Australia. So the tighter lending conditions continue to bite, with investors less likely to get a loan. And some of this relates to demand, or lack of it, but it also is driven by tighter lending requirements. And this is clearly seen in our surveys, where the number of rejected applications has been rising significantly. This is especially true for those seeking to refinance an existing loan, including interest-only loans. The net portfolio growth of around $9 billion, or 0.5% in the month, in original terms, shows that overall lending remains quite strong despite the weaker flows. Next, AMP's first half profit fell 74% to $115 million, driven down by provisions to compensate consumers for financial advice they paid for but did not receive. Acting Chief Executive Mike Wilkins said headwinds remain for the second half of the year. The events around the Royal Commission into Financial Services have challenged our reputation, and while we continue to monitor the impacts, we have taken actions to stabilise the business and move forward, he says. Underlying profit without provisions, including remediation of $290 million, was $495 million. AMP, of course, last month foreshadowed a first half underlying profit in the range of $490 to $500 million, dragged down by a provision of $290 million post-tax for potential advice remediation. The scandal of knowingly charging customers for advice they didn't get and of misleading the corporate regulator ASIC has claimed the scalp of former CEO Craig Mellor, Chairman Catherine Brenner, and three other board members. Last week, AMP launched a program to repair its reputation and to earn back trust by compensating customers for lost earnings, strengthening risk management systems and controls, and cutting fees on its superannuation products. In the first half of 2018, AMP's Australian wealth management operating earnings increased 6% to $204 million, and assets under management rose 6% to $132 billion. Our first half results have demonstrated AMP's resilience through a difficult period, says Wilkins. While there will be further challenges ahead, we have a strong foundation on which to reset the business and restore the confidence of our customers and the wider community. AMP declared an interim dividend of 10 cents a share, franked to 50%, and the AMP share price was up 4.18% to $3.49 just before the close, well down still from a year ago. The Commonwealth Bank reported a 4.8% drop in cash profit for continuing operations to $9.23 billion for the full year to June, squeezed by fines for poor behaviour and by the costs of responding to inquiries, including the Financial Services Royal Commission. The result, which was below analyst expectations of around $9.5 billion, supported a final dividend of $2.31, bringing the full-year payout to $4.31 a share, up 2 cents on 2017. CEO Mike Common said that the fundamentals of the bank remain strong. He says the result, when stripped out one-off items, including a couple of large penalties, looks more like a 3.7% rise to $10 billion in cash profits. CBA shares were also higher after the results to $74.80 just before the close. Operating income rose 2.6% to $25.9 billion, and the net interest margin rose 5 basis points to 2.15%, although it was lower in the second half. But expenses jumped 9.2% to $11.6 billion, mainly due to the AUSTRAC civil penalty of $700 million for breaching anti-money laundering regulations. Loan impairment expenses were down 1.5% to $1.08 billion, which is equivalent to 15 basis points of gross loans and acceptances. But, as mentioned above, CBA said in their results announcement that, quote, there had been an uptick in home loan arrears, as some households experienced difficulties with rising essential costs and limited income growth, leading to some pockets of stress. Exactly. One-off regulatory costs relating to the APRA inquiry and also the Financial Services Royal Commission are running at $155 million. So ultimately, poor corporate behaviour costs not just customers, but also investors. But at the end of the day, customers will end up paying more and getting less. Plenty of shame to go around. And finally today, a quick note. We passed 4,000 subscribers on YouTube today. And the rate of growth in the channel is exceeding my expectations. So a word of thanks to all of you who watch or listen to our shows, and especially to those who comment in the community. I'm really grateful for your support. And rest assured, we have more great content coming. And mark your diary. The next DFA live stream event will be on Tuesday, the 21st of August at 8 p.m. Sydney time. I'll be providing more information shortly about the event, but it's already scheduled on the channel. So if you want to, set a reminder. And feel free to send questions in beforehand. And now we have well over 60 patrons who have signed up via our Patreon channel. Thanks to those who are now part of the program, including those who are enjoying the exclusive additional content we are providing to those in the More DFA tier. If you're not a member, but value the content we produce, please do consider joining our Patreon program, where you can support our ability to continue to make great content. The link is in the comments below. If you like what you've heard here today, please share and like the post and add a comment or question. And if you want to join the growing band of subscribers who receive alerts when we release new posts, do subscribe now. I'm Martin North, the Principal Analyst at Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you again next time.